This little girl at the teller, she says, "Mr. Scrivener, you know God's a loving God. He would never hurt anybody." I said, "It's obvious, honey, you have not read the Bible." "Oh, yes," she said, "I have read the Bible." I said, "Let me go back to the beginning of the Bible. In the first 1,000 years, it says the intent of every person on the earth was evil continuously, except one man and his family, a total of 8 people. I said, "What did God do to that group of people that lived that first 1,000 years? She said, "Well, there was a great flood." I said, "So who caused the flood?" "Wow," she said, "I guess God had to do that, didn't he?" So I said, right there, the very first 1,000 years, God killed every human being on this earth because of sin. Is that right? I mean, when you can let and there must have been millions of people. I mean, for people to have people, and they didn't die. You know, can you imagine how many children you could have? If you start having children at 40 or 50 or 60 and you're married to a woman and you're 800 or 900 years old and y'all still having kids? Can you imagine how many kids you could have in a period of time like that? You know, hundreds of them maybe. You know, wow. You know, that's awesome. But, you know, you never think about that. You know, they could have had hundreds. Is that true? You know, I mean, it's not like having 2 or 3, they didn't deteriorate like we do, you know, and change. God had not changed that. So when you think, no, nobody can have a child at 500 years old. Yeah, how old was Noah when he had his sons? 500 years. Yeah, him and his wife got married and they had sons 500 years old when he had his first ones. Wow. So you see what I mean? We could have all kinds of children out there. So I just told the young lady, I said, "Yes, honey, I absolutely, completely convinced that when the Word of God says sin brings forth death, that's what brings forth death. That's why we die." I said, "That's why all of us die." I said, "Have you ever seen somebody that really took good care of themselves?" In fact, I thought about the gentleman from Lubbock that comes out here every once in a while. And I was talking about this in a healing school. And this gentleman stood up and he said, "You know, Mr. Scrivener, can I say something?" And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, I am 90 years old. And said, "Until I was 88 years old, I never had a sick day. I had my first sick day at 88. He said, "I was raised in a home where my mother and father taught me to walk in total obedience to God's word." And he said, "I've been hiding the scripture in my heart." He said, "We're fixing to leave here and we're going to go to Europe for a month vacation." And when they went and came back, he was 91 years old and he came back to another healing school. And he said, "We walked all over Europe." And he said, "I'm 91. I thought, wow. And he didn't look like he's 60. He looked young. I had a couple here from New Mexico here a while back, and they were both extremely sick. And as I ministered to those two, that couple, I learned they had been married, divorced a couple of times. They had both been on drugs and alcohol. They had done all kinds of things. I mean, it was amazing the things that was wrong with them. And I finally thought, they're so old. I wonder how old they are. I thought, well, they got to be. Got to really be a bad 70 or something. You know, I mean, you know, I'm 73 and I don't think I look that old, you know. But how old are you two? He said, "I'm 48 and she's 45. And I guarantee they would pass for 90. You know, they would easily pass for 90 years old. But they had lived a rugged, sinful life. What does sin do to you? It kills you. Yeah, it kills you. And so the scripture says that. So, but the Proverbs is going to show us that if we go back to the book of Proverbs. "So that thou incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding." In other words, if you seek this wisdom we're talking about, if you believe in your heart, "Lord, I need wisdom today. Whatever you're going to do today, I don't care what you're going to do. You're going to fly an airplane somewhere. You're going to build something, whatever." In fact, I always ask the Lord, "Lord, protect me, keep me safe." And yesterday, I needed to go down to the Brownwood area for a little while to see my nephew. And so I went out to the airport, jumped in my airplane, and I said, "Lord, keep me safe." I always know there's lots of airplanes around here in the Metroplex. So I take off out of there and I fly around the Metroplex and I don't see a single airplane nowhere. Saturday about noon, this before noon, I don't see a single airplane. I fly out, so I think, well, you know, I won't get flight following. You know, I usually always, when I take off, I call a controller and get flight following where they know where I am so they can warn me of other airplanes. But I thought, well, today's Saturday, I don't see anybody flying, and so I won't even bother. And so I just take off and I fly about 3,000, 3,500 feet till I get past the rings down at Weatherford. When I get down to Weatherford, I think, well, you know, I would go up to 4,500, be a little bit cooler. It wasn't too hot at 11 o'clock yesterday morning, but it was warm. So I went up to 4,500. And anytime you're going from south all the way back around to north, you're supposed to fly even altitudes plus 500 feet. Now, if you're flying anything that's from north to south that way, you're supposed to fly odd altitudes plus 500 feet. So if you're going this way and somebody's coming this way, you're always got a 1,000-foot separation. So you don't have to worry about running together. I'm flying 4,500 feet, got my autopilot engaged, I'm right on, and I'm looking down at my map, you know, to see exactly, of course I got a GPS that tells me exactly, but I'm looking down at my map, you know, I'm flying along there at 4,500 feet at 200 miles an hour, and I look down at the map, you know, I look out there, and, you know, I don't see nothing, but at 200 miles an hour, you cover ground in a hurry, you know that? And then I look up, and just as I look up, I have never seen an airplane this close to me in my life, but there was one right there going about 150 miles an hour going that way, and when I looked up, whew, a white streak as he went by, and I guarantee I wasn't 200 foot from that guy. I have never, and boy, 200 foot at that speed, they look close. Now, of course, you're driving down the road at 60 miles an hour and pass somebody 3 feet, and you don't think nothing of that. But I know that guy didn't see me, and I know I didn't see him until he was, I didn't even have time to move to, I just left it right where it was because I knew I'm already safe. I thought to myself, I guess really I should have got flight following. You know, when you get flight following, you know what the guy does, all of a sudden a guy will come on and he'll say, Mooney 95442, you have another airplane about your altitude headed or at the 2 o'clock position coming your direction. And he'll say he's 10 miles. Well, let me tell you what. If you've ever been up there in an airplane and you're looking at a white airplane against a white cloud, and he's 10 miles away. If you can see him, you sure got better eyes than I got, I guarantee you. Dave's got much better eyes than me, and he can't see him either. But a lot of times, if you get within 2 miles of him, you can see him. If you're further than 2 miles from him, it's hard to see it. But yesterday, that guy come flying by me, and as he did, my first words out of my mouth were, "Thank you, Lord, for my prayer of safety." Do you realize that 200 miles an hour and probably 150 on his part, that's 350 mile an hour closure speed. And if that guy had been just a degree over, or if I'd have been just a few feet over this way, if we'd have hit head on, do you know what they'd have found? Pieces. But it's obvious God's not through with me yet. And of course, when I pray and ask the Lord for divine intervention, I know that until he's through with me on this earth, there ain't nothing can touch me. You've heard me make that statement several times. I know when it's my time to go, I'm going to go. And he may take me out in an airplane. I don't know how he's going to do that, but I don't care how he does it, but I don't want him to take me out until it's my time. And I've got a lot of things I want to do yet. I'm not ready to go yet. So I'm not in a hurry to get to heaven because I'm going to be there a long time. You know, so I ain't worried about it. But I do enjoy living. Verse 3 and 4. Yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, cry out for it. Some people I've seen in church that have never asked God for any kind of direction and help during the course of the day. I'll tell you girls something that if y'all will listen to this prayer, my wife learned this. When we first got married, you know, Cheryl, before she knew me as her husband, she looked up one time and said, you know, I wonder what it would be like to be married to the perfect man. Because she thought I was a perfect man. You know, she only knew me, you know, from out there. And then God brought her to me and we got married. And then she found out what it's like to be married to that guy that's a diamond, but he's got a lot of rough edges on him. Y'all know where I'm coming from? How many of you girls in here that are married got a husband that's got some rough edges on him? Oh, my goodness, y'all not telling the truth. Lord, forgive them for lying. But you girls need to learn that when you this diamond that you got, he's not perfect yet. The Lord's still working on him just like he is me. It does not do any good to grumble and complain about that guy. It doesn't help a thing. But whenever he doesn't do everything just like you want to, you go to your Father in heaven and say, Lord, soften my husband's heart, make him more like Jesus. Now then, that's a good prayer for every woman to hear. Lord, soften my husband's heart and make my husband more like Jesus. And if that woman prays in faith, what's God going to do to mine and your heart? He's going to soften our heart, make us more like Jesus. And then we're going to be easier to live with our wives, right? And so that's mine's learned that. Boy, she uses that on me often. She's really learned that. But he says, cry out for knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding. Well, that's what we're talking about today, to get this stuff. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. This is what you want to do for wisdom. I mean, knowledge, understanding. You want to pray diligently every day. Father, in the name of Jesus, I need wisdom today to do the things I need to do. Lord, I want you to show me. I want you to give me understanding and knowledge so that I can do all things. Cheryl and I was riding along. We was going to go get a sandwich one day this week. And I told her, I looked over at her and I said, honey, I'm so grateful to God for the knowledge he's given me. I'm able to hook up the air conditioners. I'm able to build those things. I can do the plumbing work on them. If I want to go get my own airplane and fly somewhere, if I want to fix my own airplane, I have an A&P license, I can do that. If I want to drive a car, a truck, build a building or anything, I can do it because I have cried out for this wisdom and knowledge that only God has. And he has blessed me with it. Now then, I know some guys that never cry out for knowledge, never cry out for wisdom. They just get up in the morning and go to work and they never pray, they never talk to God, and they wonder why they never accomplish or accumulate nothing in their life. But yet if you pray, Lord, I need wisdom. Just like the prayer of Jabez, you know. All those men were just doing their normal thing. And Jabez said, Lord, increase my space, give me more. And it says, and God heard his prayer and did it. Now none of the rest of them did. Nobody got anything but Jabez. And Jabez, his territory was increased with grade because he asked God. So if God will do that for Jabez, guess what he'll do for you and me? Same thing. If we pray and seek him, you know, we plead with him. We seek for this understanding. We seek for this wisdom. We seek for this knowledge. Like we're digging for silver and searching for her as for hidden treasures. Just think, if somebody were to tell me, Thurman, on your 100 acres of land here, at about 20 feet under the ground, years ago, we hid $5 million in gold bullion. I'm telling you what, I would start right in the middle, and I would start digging a 20-foot hole until I found that. If I may have to dig plumb to the edge, but if they get $5 million, that's a lot of money, isn't it? But if you don't dig for it, as for treasures, you're never going to have this wisdom and knowledge and understanding that God wants you to have.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled All We Need Is Jesus, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.